Let's turn in our Bibles this morning and we're going to read in the Psalms, in the Psalm 130 and the Psalm 131. Two Psalms that I've been reading amongst many others over this past year, and therefore we're going to read them. Psalm 130, "My soul waiteth for the Lord," the Psalm of waiting, and then the childlike faith described in Psalm 131. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If thou, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say, more than they that watch for the morning. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. And he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. Then the three verses of Psalm 131. Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor mine eyes lofty. Neither do I exercise myself in great matters, or in things too high for me. Surely I have behaved and quieted myself as a child that is weaned of his mother. My soul is even as a weaned child. Let Israel hope in the Lord from henceforth and forever. And we know that God will add his blessing to the public reading of his precious word for Jesus' sake. Amen. I want you to turn in your Bibles this morning to the book of Galatians. Galatians and the chapter 6. And we trust that as we come to the word of God, that God will bless his word to our hearts. Believer in this meeting, be sure and ask God to speak to your heart. Leave yourself open this morning for the entrance of the word of God. For it's the entrance of God's word that giveth us light. Galatians chapter 6, and we're going to read from the verse 1 through to the verse number 10. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man thinketh himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. And with our Bibles open, can we just pause, please, for a moment of prayer? Our Heavenly Father, we're very conscious that we're coming to the preaching of thy word.
And, O God, I ask thee this morning that you'll help me, Lord. Pray that you'll lift me far above myself into the hollow of your very hand. God, I pray that I might be this day not just the Lord's servant with a message, but, O God, that I'll be thy servant with thy message. Speak to our hearts. Bring the hush of eternity. Settle us in thy presence. For Jesus' sake. Amen. When I considered this service today, I was very much drawn to the words here in Galatians chapter 6. Do you know the Galatians had launched their Christian experience by faith? Like any one of us that are here today that's saved, when we start off on the Christian journey, we come to the cross. And it's not by works, but it's by faith. And our faith is in Christ alone. But you'll find as you read over the 6 chapters of Galatians, you'll find that the people in the Galatian church who started off well, they begin to be content to leave their voyage of faith, and they chart a new course that's based on works, a course that the Apostle Paul finds disturbing. And his letter to the Galatians is a vigorous attack against the gospel of works. And he defends in his letter the gospel of faith. And you'll find that he tells them that blessing comes from God on the basis of faith. And it doesn't come just from the law. He tells them over the chapters, just to set the scene here, that faith sets men free to enjoy liberty in Christ. We can enjoy our life in Christ, the liberty that God gives us, the liberty today that he's given for the preaching of the gospel in this house. But of course, he tells these people that that liberty is not a license. And Christian friend, let that be a lesson to you and me today. That when we trust and we hand our lives over to the Lord, under his ownership, under his stewardship, that we remember it's not a license for you and me to do what we like. In chapters 1 and 2, I'll give you a brief description and then we'll come to what we want to consider this morning. But if you read in your own time the first 2 chapters, you'll find in this letter the gospel of grace is defended. And Paul starts off in chapters 1 and 2 and he defends the gospel. And I believe that should be of every Christian, every saved one that's gathered here in the house of God today. If you're saved, and you can say, preacher, listen, I know who Jesus is. I remember in my life's experience when I was saved. I do, and I trust you do too. That you remember when your sins were forgiven, when you trusted in the finished work of Christ. And I trust that day by day in your workplace, in the neighborhood in which you live, in your family, that you defend the gospel. Stand up for the crown rights of King Jesus. In chapters 1 and 2, he defends the gospel of grace. Now, in your own time, if you read chapters 3 and 4, you'll find that he doesn't now defend the gospel of grace. He explains it. He explains the gospel to these people. And then in chapters 5 and 6, you'll find that he applies it. You know, sometimes as the Lord's people, those of us who are saved, oh, we'll say, listen, I'll do anything for God and Ulster. And I'll defend the crown rights of King Jesus. Yes, preacher, I'm going to defend God. Then to explain it, you say, well, listen, I love to do that. I love to tell others of Jesus. I love to sit down in the workplace at the lunchtime and speak with my workmates about the love of Christ. I love to be in the children's meeting and tell them about the love of Jesus Christ, God's Son, that cleanseth us from all sin. And I love to be able to explain it. But I do believe, brethren and sisters, and I'm speaking primarily this morning to we, the Lord's people. I do believe as here in chapters 5 and 6, he applies the gospel to the Christian life. I do believe that is one of the most difficult things that the believer finds to do. The searchlight of God upon your life and mine. When, the screwdriver goes into the loose nuts and God points out, puts the finger on the things in your life and mine that's not right. Oh, it's easy. It's easy to defend it. It's easy to explain it. But preacher, to apply it, to take the dark side, as it were, when God opens the books and said, this is the way. And sadly, as the Lord's people, we're found wanting. Yes, defending the gospel, that's our duty, isn't it? It's our duty as the Lord's people to defend it. Explaining the gospel, yes, it's our privilege. And I count it a privilege to present the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I trust, believer, that you do too. But applying the gospel, that's our responsibility. And I want this morning, by the help of God, to apply the word of God to my heart and yours. I want us to consider this morning four things in chapter 6 and verse 9. A verse that so many times is read, and I'm sure many preachers have preached upon. And yet I believe it's sobering words, challenging words, yet encouraging words for the people of God. Let's read verse number 9. And let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season, we shall reap if we faint not. I'll read it again. And let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season, we shall reap if we faint not. I want us to consider four things this morning. I want us to consider the life to be lived. The life that the believer, the saved one, you and I received, the life we are to live. Then I want us to consider the danger that's to be feared. Because there's a danger in this verse, something to be careful of, something to watch out for. Then, of course, I want us to consider, if time permits us, the promise to be claimed. We love the promises, don't we? In times of need and times of uncertainty, and we go to the scriptures and, my, we gather in the gems of the promises. And then finally, I want us to consider the condition. You see, there's a condition to be fulfilled by every believer. But first of all, I want us to look at, first of all, the life to be lived. And the verse tells us, and let us not be weary in well-doing. And brethren and sisters, this morning, we have a life to be lived in well-doing. You see, as the Lord's people, those of us that are saved, we can live our lives in two ways. We can live it that it can be a fruitful life in serving the Lord, witnessing to others. Or it can be a fruitless life where we just sit and we stagnate, as it were. We just sit there and we're saved and that's it. It can be fruitful or it can be fruitless. In the Psalm number 90 and verse 12, and also in verse 9, it tells us, teach us to number our days. Tells us that we spend our lives as a tale that is told. I wonder what the tale of your life, what the tale of mine will be. But you say to me, preacher, this morning, you're talking about the victorious life here. And you're telling us there's a life to be lived in well-doing. I want us to consider this morning very quickly. First of all, the life not to be lived. And then I want us to consider very quickly, before we move on, the life to be lived. The life not to be lived. How the Christian, as it were, should not live their lives. And then, of course, as the verse tells us, the life to be lived is the life of well-doing. Two things about the life not to be lived. We should not live our lives, and I'm going to use two S words here, so it'll be easy for you to understand, and it'll be easy for me as well. If we're to live our lives in well-doing, then we're not to live as a slanderer. And we're not to live as the slothful. First of all, I want you to turn to Leviticus chapter 19. I'm sure a book that many times is not turned to very often maybe your pages of the Bible. Like in so many pages of all of our Bibles, there are places that very rarely read and the pages are sticking together. There's other places that are more commonly known. But here's the life not to be lived. And listen, brethren and sisters, if you and I are to be blessed, if you and I are to have the stamp of approval from God on our lives, then we're not to live as a slanderer. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 16. Here's one of these, like the commandments in Exodus. Thou shalt not. Verse 16. Thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people. Neither shalt thou stand against the blood of thy neighbor. I am the Lord. Now here's a challenge. We were praying this morning, if it be a challenge, a word of chastisement, a word of rebuke. I wonder, is that the life that you're living today? You're the idle talker in the congregation here. You're the one that will gossip. You're the talebearer, the whisperer, the tattler. And God says, listen, brethren and sisters, we've got to live our lives in well-doing. And here's one of the marks of not doing well. Let me ask you before God this morning, is that how you spend your day? Is that how you spend your week? Is that how, as I look into my own heart, that I spend my days in gossip and slandering? God says, no! Thou shalt not, he says. I am the Lord. So we're not to be a slanderer. God forbid that would be the testimony of anybody in this church today. I'm talking about the life not to be lived. Let's get this out of the way. The life not to be lived. The slanderer. But secondly, we're not to be slothful. I want you to turn to Proverbs chapter 18. Proverbs chapter 18, and this is like a Bible study this morning, but it will help us find how we can know the true blessing, because listen, we want blessing. I want blessing in my life. Sister, brother, you want blessing. You want to see the church of God going forward. Then we're not to be a slanderer. Here in chapter 18 of Proverbs, you'll find that we're not to be slothful. In other words, we're not to be lazy in the work of God. Verse number 9 of Proverbs chapter 18. He also that is slothful in his work is brother to him that is a great waster. Now, I'm not talking this morning, as I'm bringing this message, about your work from day to day, what you do in your job. You can answer to God for that, and God sees all you do. He hears all you say. My God is listening all the time, and he's watching me too. But I'm talking about in the work of God. I'm talking about in the things of God. Although I do remember one day meeting a young man, and I speak of his day work because this is where I found him. A young man that I wasn't so sure, and I dare not judge, but I wasn't sure how this young man was going on with the Lord. And I met him one day in just in a nice new bungalow that was nearly finished, and he was sitting on the steps outside. And I thought, my goodness, he's praying. And he was praying, and I knew he was praying. And I said, thank God, he's praying, he's going on. And I went over to him, and I said, son, are you praying? He says, can I ask you what you were praying? He says, I'm praying it'll get dark. You see, he didn't want to work. He was hoping that night would fall, and you see, he couldn't do the outside work in the dark. Slothful. In his day work, yes, he was being lazy. I wonder in the work of God here in Lurgan, is that the testimony of you that are here, someone that's here? And you're not doing well for God. Because you're living your life, the life of the slothful, the lazy. My, I'm saved, preacher. But someone else will look after the beeline. Someone else can go when there's an open air in Lurgan. I'll just stay at home. Oh, well, you see, I'll not bother going to the prayer meeting. There'll be plenty there. They'll never miss me. God says, listen, young man, older man, woman in this service, he said, listen, there's a life to be lived in well-doing. Don't live it as a slanderer. Don't be the church gossip. Don't be the whisperer. And he says, don't be slothful. Don't be lazy. Don't be idle in the work of God. Yes, let's be up and about our Father's business. The life not to be lived. But quickly, how is it to be lived? You say, preacher, God's pointing the finger in my life, and the searchlight is upon me, that I'm not to live like the slanderer, the slothful. But how am I to live? First of all, you're to live it as a worshiper. You're to worship God. Yes. And then you're to be a witness. Turn with me quickly to 1 Chronicles, and I must move through these very quickly this morning, because time will beat us, and the red light will be coming on, and John will be taking me, marching me out of the pulpit. But let's turn to 1 Chronicles, because these are seedlings. Listen, these are seedlings from the Word of God. And I tell you, they've challenged me. They've challenged my heart. 1 Chronicles chapter 16, and you can mark these down and read them in your own time. Verse 29. Now here's the worshiper. You see, God wants you and me to worship Him. That's why we're here today, not just out of duty. That we can wash up on a Sunday morning and dress up and get to church to be seen. But verse 29, this is what it says. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Bring an offering and come before Him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. 1 Chronicles chapter 16, and the verse 29. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Bring an offering and come before Him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Let me ask you, are you a worshiper today? Do you faithfully attend the house of God? Or are you here today and maybe you'll not be here for 3 weeks? In other words, the work of God in Lurgan could not count on you. More so, if there's a work to be done in winning souls and being an outreach, not only could the church not count on you, but more so God. God says, faithful attendance in the house of God. If you're going to live the life of well-doing, you'll have to be a worshiper, sister. Then secondly, you've got to be a witness. And we'll not turn to it for sake of time, but mark down Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. That tells you of the witness. Dr. Paisley's been talking over this past year about our Samaria. You'll find it there in Acts chapter 1 verse 8. But the first place that's mentioned is Jerusalem. Jerusalem speaks of home. God will never take any one of us anywhere unless we're a witness at home. Witness here in your own church. Young person, the fine fields of Kenya will never be yours. God could never take you to the far-flung corners of the world to preach the word unless you're faithful here. God says you need to be a witness. You need to be a worshiper. Little chorus the children sing sometimes, telling others, my life's work is telling others. I remember singing that in the children's meetings. Is that your life's work today? The life to be lived in well-doing. But let's move on very quickly because time's going past. Let's look secondly at the danger to be feared. You see, God wants the people, His people, to be happy and healthy. He wants them to be going forward, not stalling and not going back. God wants us to walk with Him. He doesn't want us running ahead. He doesn't want us falling behind. But when we live our Christian lives, there is a danger. And the danger is found in the opening words of verse 9, because it says, and let us not be weary. Is it not so in the work of God that as the Lord's people, many times we get weary? Now, I'm not talking about sleepy tired here. When I remember my father-in-law, and he, before he retired, he went out at 6 in the morning and he came in at 6 at night. And I always remember my wife and her mother, when they would reach him his dinner, they would reach him on his lap and he would eat his dinner. There was many nights, a few minutes had just passed, when you would hear the crash on the floor. He was so well used out all day that when he came into the heat of the house, I tell you, he wasn't long till he was dozing off and the plate was on the floor. He was out for the count. I'm not talking about that sleepy, tired. Sometimes it happens us when we come into the house of God, doesn't it? When we come from outside and we've washed our face and we come into the Lord's house and we feel like dozing off. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the lack of force to go on as a believer. When we come to a point in our life's experience and we say, listen, what is it all about? I don't want to go on anymore. Maybe you see blessing elsewhere. Maybe some other congregation and God's blessing. The numbers are great. Souls are being saved. And you're discouraged. That's the weary. Now, there's three dangers to watch out for. We may not have time to go through them, but I'll give them to you. You can note them and study them in your own time. Three dangers. First of all, there's the danger of sleeping in the Lord's work and in your life as a Christian. Then there's the danger of slipping into sin as a Christian. Now, these are all part and parcel of the believer becoming weary. No thrust, no force to go on. Then thirdly, there's the danger of the stench of jealousy, where we become jealous of others in the work instead of being zealous of being part of it ourselves. First of all, the danger of slipping. Now, I'm not going to go to turn to all these portions. You can mark them and note them in your own time. But the danger of slipping into satisfaction in life. You see, it's so easy for you and I to say, well, I'm saved. And listen, preacher, you'll never take that from me. I was there when it happened in that old mission hall in the back of this church when I cried my way to the Lord at the cross. But now you're sleeping. You're in a satisfaction in life. You know, I'm saved. I come to the prayer meeting and I come on a Sunday and I wouldn't miss. But the quiet time with the Lord is gone. The Bible's not read in your home so much. The closet door's not closed and you're not getting alone with God and asking God to help you and bless you. And really, you're just breathing enough of God to do. I'm saved, preacher, but someone else will serve. I've made it. Now I just wait and I'll just watch for heaven. Now, here's a danger, brethren and sisters, to be careful of. A danger of sleeping. And there's the danger of slipping into sin. You see, when we sleep as a Christian in our lives, when we don't read the Word of God and we don't pray, then the devil's there. And he'll discourage you. He'll bring every mortal lie into your head. Every excuse to give up on God. Of course, the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 12, take heed. Take heed, Rodney. Take heed, man. Take heed, woman, lest ye fall. And the devil always has work for idle hands and careless minds. And he fills us with the world. He fills us with materialism. My, is that not the picture of so many? Maybe even someone here today, and it's not a possibility, but it's a reality that you're weary. You've been sleeping in. You've been slipping into sin. You've left your first love. You're barely breathing Christianity. And no one else knows but God. Danger to be feared of the stench of jealousy. You know, jealousy comes in two forms, many forms, but there are two that I can think of that I've been brought to my attention. Jealousy in the work, and jealousy in the workers. Jealousy in God's work. When we look at other places and we think that faraway fields are much greener. You remember this, little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame, for there's a crown and you can win it if you'll go in Jesus' name. Listen, brethren and sisters, thank God for the blessing elsewhere, but that blessing can be here too. You watch for it. You wait for it. You ask God for it. And God will bless the testimony here. No souls, preacher. There's no outward signs. The Lord's moving elsewhere in his vineyard, and we're forgotten. Then jealousy in the workers. Oh, yes, that can happen too. And one person can't bear the other. One brother can't look at the other. They can't bid one another the time of day. And God says, listen, here's a danger of becoming weary. And God says in Lurgan, you've a life to be lived, Christian, in well-doing. Sleeping. Slipping. Stench of jealousy. And God says it's a danger to be feared. Very quickly, let's give you quickly the promise to be cleaned. I love the promises. You love them too. And I'm sure you could turn to many of the promises. Romans 8 and 28. I love that portion. We know that all things work together for good to them that are called according to his purpose. To them that love God. It's engraved in my wedding ring. I suppose there's a reason for that too. In life when things gets rough that we'll turn to it. But it's engraved in my wedding ring. I love that portion. And yet I have been proving in my life all things work together for good. Not just the days of sunshine. Not just the days of happiness. But the days when there's darkness and sorrow too. That is all part of the all things. But here's the promise to be claimed. And let us not be weary, verse 9, in well-doing, for in due season, listen, we shall reap. Answer to prayer. You see, if you live your life in well-doing and you watch out for those dangers, there's a promise to be claimed. God will answer in his time and his place and in his season if we hold out. Promises, you see, two things about the promises. I'm not going to be able to tell you this, but you can note it down and you can ask me later on. Two things about this promise. Promises are kept by God. Good job they are, because if there were our promises, sure we wouldn't keep them. In the world today, somebody makes you a promise. I'm telling you, I'll do that. Or when it comes to a sweet story, I'll never tell it again. And you'll hear it up the road or they'll let you down. And listen, that's true of us all. But the promises are kept by God. God's word says in Isaiah 51, God's word is ever settled in heaven. Never returns unto him void. But also the promises are to be lived and believed by us. Believed by us. There's no point in me saying today, oh, you people in Lurgan, all things work together for good. And everything's a bed of roses. And then to me be a sour old grunt the rest of the week and not believe it myself. Listen, you've got to live it. The people around you must see that you live the promises, not only that you believe them. We need to be testimonies. Promises kept by God. Lived and believed by us. I read this, I've maybe read this to you before. You know, people can let us down and people can distract us and discourage us. But I wrote this down, I carry this with me everywhere. If you want to be distracted, look around you. There'd be plenty to distract you. So if you want to be distracted, look around. If you want to be miserable, and isn't it so sometimes we look in the mirror and we think, you know, there's nobody who's went through this but me. I'll never get over it. And sometimes, yes, there are unsurmountable difficulties that only the Lord knows about and can help us. But there's other times we're just selfish. So if you want to be miserable, you look within. You want to be distracted, you look around you. You want to be miserable, you look within. But here's the secret of if you want to be happy, then you look up. Don't look around you. Don't look around you. Don't look within, but look up to the author and finisher of your faith. I wrote this down this morning, and I must tell you, I wrote the words of this hymn. I think of my blessed Redeemer. I think of him all the day long. I sing, for I cannot be silent. His love is the theme of my song, redeemed. Are you enjoying the Lord today? Life to be lived in well-doing. Danger to be feared in getting weary of promises to be claimed in due season. But here's the condition to be fulfilled. I've got to finish this. You must get this gem. Because you see, it's all very well agreeing with the life to be lived. You say, I'm not the slanderer, preacher. I'm not the slothful. I'm the worshiper. I'm the witness. And you say, listen, I watch for the dangers. Oh, I know the devil's a roaring lion, and I'm watching for him, and I claim the blood. I love the promises. But if that all is in place, yes, that's good. But there's a condition to be fulfilled. And the last phrase tells us, if we faint not. If we faint not. Sadly, in the Christian church today, it's the testimony of so many. I'm sure in Lurgan it's no different. And there are those that used to be bright lights here. Those that, listen, were in the work of God and they couldn't have been stopped. My, they were just the full force. Today they've fallen by the wayside. Now when I say that, I say there, but for the grace of God, go I. But you see, they fainted. They fainted. Condition to be fulfilled if we faint not. That condition's to be met continuously every day. Can't go into that, but it's to be met continuously. Of course, the church, always being faithful, gaining ground, growing, not failing but or faltering, but going forward. It's also to be met by everyone. It's not just enough that the church as a whole is going on, but you must be going on yourself, brother or sister. You dare not faint. There's a wee nurse in our church in Macrofelton, and I remember one time when someone was fainting, she said, that wee woman feeling faint, she says, get your head down between your knees. Now, I would have bothered doing that. My belly probably would get in the road. But I remember her saying, that's the best thing to do. Get your head down until it passes if you're feeling faint. And I thought when I considered this message, isn't that a good place for God's people to be? Heads down, eyes closed just before God, if we're going to faint, if we're feeling weary. God, help me. Take the cloud of doubt away. Take the thoughts of discouragement away. You say, preacher, I'm feeling lethargic in the work. I can't read my Bible. Can't pray. I'm dying, preacher. Then I say to you today, then pray for his power, his presence, his purpose in your life. Scripture that we read this morning, let us not be weary in well-doing, but in due season we shall reap if we faint not. I'm reading you one last verse, and with this I'm finished. You take this home as your motto text, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And verse 58. Now you take this. Turn with me quickly and let's read this together. And with this I'm closed. Verse 58 of 1 Corinthians 15. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor's not in vain in the Lord. Don't give tuppence what other people thinks. There'll be more to discourage you than encourage you. But in the name of Jesus, you and I can live the life of well-doing. And let me say to you, if you're not saved in this meeting, yes, these were words of instructions for the believer today. But if you're not saved, then you do not know what life's all about. Because the greatest life is a life with Christ. I have many friends. There's probably enemies too. But I have one great friend, and he's a Savior. May God write his word upon our hearts. If you're out of Christ or backslidden, may he draw you close to himself. Let's all pray. Heavenly Father, we bow in thy presence. We thank you, Lord, for thy word, and Lord, for the instruction that's found therein. Bless us today, Father. Help us to believe your promises. Help us not to give in to discouragement, despondency, distress. Help us to hand our lives to thee. Take the church of God forward. Bless Lurgan, Free Presbyterian Church, covered in the blood. Bless the minister and his wife and his family. Bless every family connected with this church, those that are here and those that cannot be with us. And may we see them marching forward in victory. In Jesus' name, bless the meeting tonight. Take us to our homes in safety. Bring us home. Bring us back here tonight in thy will. Use us, and may precious souls be found of thee. For Jesus' sake. Amen.